Get Talent Podcast.
You can hire people from everywhere. People can look for jobs anywhere. And it became reality. It's like, it's possible now.
Yeah, it does seem like we are uniquely positioned right now as an industry to solve the most pressing problems that are happening, from work from anywhere to COVID travel restrictions to immigration issues, which we got Justin Parsons here from Erickson Immigration with us. And we've got Louise Neal from Easy Tiger. Wow. Oh, we're having fun. You know, we're doing this now. Let's go. This is great. How are y'all doing?
Well.
Well, you sound surprised.
Day two of ERC.
So, sound surprised. You should try to remember people's last names. Louise, how are you doing today?
Yeah. Louise Neal.
I know. I'm like looking at people I know all the time. I'm like, and their last name is, I hope it comes to me. Yes, Louise. It's good to see you.
Fine. Absolutely fine.
Fine. Just fine.
Loving it. Actually.
I know. I speak British. I know what that means. Fine.
Okay. Fantastic.
Fantastic. Lovely. So we're talking about recruitment. I think you know a thing or two about recruiting talent. Louise is actually with an excellent recruitment firm out of the UK. And Justin is with one of the foremost business immigration firms here globally. I want to talk to you a little bit about attracting talent, retaining talent, creating the culture. Justin, how are you recruiting talent right now?
I mean, I think that... it's similar in terms of listening to the prior guests, in terms of, you know, prior to COVID, we would recruit in DC and San Francisco, and then
where your US offices are. Yep.
And what we would do is we'd hire folks and then train folks. And I think, you know, just to echo, I think what other folks have said is that it's kind of opened the door in terms of, you know, there's better talent everywhere. So you can bring people in who maybe aren't in your area. You can find the right fit, whether it's an attorney, a paralegal, you know, a global case manager. So it's given us more flexibility as an organization just to get better talent. And I think it's made the organization stronger. With that said, it's hard to like connect with people, right? If they're not in the office with you. So that's been, it's a dual-edged sword.
Yeah.
You know, you can get better talent, but as managers, we have to work harder to like connect with people and to make sure they understand the culture of the organization and like how we do things as a company. So that's been the challenge for us. Were there
benefits though? I mean, I know you have a preference towards in office for the connection and everything, but were there like unexpected benefits that you found by having people kind of dispersed?
I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, being able to get people with more years of experience. And if somebody wants to work in Iowa or Indonesia, we can hire them there versus, you know, prior to COVID, it was, you know, the person from Iowa would have to move to DC or San Francisco and they just weren't willing to do it. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, that's kind of been the value prop for Relo, is to always say, you know, you could hire the best and brightest anywhere in the world, right? And you can relocate them. I mean, that's the tool of Relo. And now with work from home, it's like even easier than Relo, because now you're not actually asking them to do anything. They can stay in place and work and be productive. Louise, what are you seeing out there across the pond, my friend? What's going on out there from a recruitment trend standpoint?
Well, I think we've done the 3 years of COVID and we've seen all these various changes and how, I mean, I've had to educate and my staff have had to really mentor and educate corporates in how to onboard a virtual talent. And HR has totally changed and they have a huge job now. What I'm seeing now is we've got so many different levels or different age groups of individuals, different talent. We've got the younger generation who is desperate to get back into the office and they are
really
missing.
That's so interesting.
The narrative
out there is, you know, these young people just want to, you know, sit in their mom's basement in their underwear and not do anything. And I mean, that's what I keep hearing out there. Mm. But you're telling me they want to come in the office.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
They are missing their social life.
Yeah.
They're missing education.
Yeah.
They're missing the country, the company culture.
Yeah.
They are missing so much. You've got the 40-year-olds who are quite content and it works really well because, you know, they've got young families and they quite like the hybrid model. Mm. And then you've got really the over 50s who would, some of them love to stay at home, but, you know, would like a mix. So what we're seeing now is corporates want to bring back talent in the office full time. They know they'll never be able to do that. So it's now a compromise. So we've got to rewrite HR because you've got mental health, you've got compensation and benefits, you've got possible tax issues coming up, depending if it's a remote worker and if they're working on any other things. So it's a really interesting time, but I think it's going to be a very tough time for every corporate to make sure they tick every single box suitable for every talent. But what I think the biggest thing that we've learned is everybody can run a company remote because it's been, I never thought banking, insurance companies, and even law firms would ever be able to implement a remote
model. Why not law firms? Let's pick on lawyers. Why not law firms?
Because it's traditional. It's, they are full of paper. They're very pompous. Sorry. And they don't like change.
Yeah.
They never will. It's the culture. It's the business. They don't like change.
Why would you change it? I mean, you're doing so well, right?
But now, it's worked. It's fantastic. The biggest and most positive thing out of this pandemic is the reach of talent has been fantastic. So the key thing now is we've got to make sure that the remote workers and hybrid workers are still integrated into the business. And it's like, how do we do that? The very first part of that pandemic, it was literally, oh my God, how do we culturally help them, mental health? We've got to put all that in, do these kind of town halls, coffee afternoons, quizzes. We did that, all right? And that worked really well. 3 years on now, it's all under the carpet. And I'm like, no. You have remote workers. We have to make sure you have a buddy. You still continuously have some interaction with the team. And that's what you've got to rewrite. So it's really interesting times.
Justin, what do you think about that?
No, I mean, I agree. I think the one thing that's interesting about, so what we've seen kind of with like mental health within the organization is if you have people who are like working remotely, they're isolated, and you have like a 23-year-old who has never worked in an office and this is their first job in COVID. Mm. And they're like,
she's right here.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. We're going to get to you too next. I want to hear
From what I've seen, like going back to when I was 23, my first job was sitting, in track pants at a computer for 8-9 hours a day. Mm. I think that would just be tough. You don't learn how to, to make small talk in the kitchen with your boss. There's all these things that this generation is like, is missing. And this is not my, thing that I haven't invented or realized. There's tons of articles about this, but I do think that one of the things that we've seen is with the younger folks, like they can be a little down sometimes. And if they're working from home and we were always like our culture within the organization, we always had like a young group that had like happy hours.
Yeah,
and like,
beer after work every once in a while, blow off some steam.
It is so important.
I was never invited because I was too old. But what I liked, and
but you saw them going on.
Yeah, and
fun.
I was like, that's good. That's good. I definitely think that it's thinking about that piece as well, socialization, and how are we going to teach some of these folks these social skills that will allow them to work in an office maybe in 10 years.
But they really don't know what they're missing because they never had it, right? So here's Jillian, the prototypical that we're talking about here, 23-year-old, out of college, high potential, crushing it, by the way, absolutely crushing it.
Thank you.
But, I mean, Jillian, do you miss? Well, you can't miss. She can't even miss it. Do you feel like a vague sense of something not present in your work life?
I can. But, I have this conversation with my friends pretty often because we're all in the same position.
You just go to their happy hours.
But we all grew up using our computers for school. Like middle school, I know it's different everywhere, but for my hometown, we started using computers in middle school and we were on computers all day long. So we all grew up knowing that type of life.
So you didn't have 40 pounds of textbooks and an L.L. Bean backpack with your initials on it?
I did. I had all my textbooks and stuff in my bag, but all of our work was mainly done on the computer. Right. And while we were in a classroom with other kids and collaborating occasionally, we were still, for the most part, focused on our computer, doing our own thing. And then the teachers would come in and help us every once in a while. And then for me, I started college in person and then I went online. So again, it's kind of all I've known for a while is working independently and on the computer, but, and like that works for me. Like I do well, but I'm also a very social person. I like to be out and about with people. And I fill that with my friends, I think, but it's not necessarily awesome because I do want to still do that with my coworkers and I don't get to, but I think that.
Yeah, but if you fill that with your friends, right, then what's keeping that high potential young talent at the company? What's keeping them engaged? Are we going to see an already short stint? You know, I mean, every generation, they jump, they're job hoppers even faster than ever. You know, are we going to see even that 10-year stint start to shorten, which then, decreases the ROI because you don't really start, you know, frankly, being in positive ROI and an employee until the, you know, probably first year is over when they actually know what they're doing. You know, and then they jump because they went to a happy hour with their friends and now they're working at some other place. You know what I mean?
Not you, Julie. No, and I understand. No, because I agree.
I've been burned before. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely important. I just think that from like a younger perspective, I think there's a lot less like pressure on the idea of working remote than like people who have been working in office for a while and now are remote and are thinking like, oh, these are the pros and cons to it. I think for people my age who are just entering into it, it's not as much of a like a tough thing in their head because it's, again, like all we've ever known.
It's all you've ever known. Yeah, so they don't even really know what they're missing. So it's like, so we almost have to like kind of like, so then what would you do if you had to go into an office?
I'm sure I would love it.
She'd quit on the spot.
No, I'm sure I would love it. Like my previous job, I was there every day, full time, and I still hang out with my coworkers from that job too. Like,
so
I love
saying
being
there's
in the office.
A chance. Yeah. All right. We got people checking in here. This is awesome. Bridget Ritchie checking in. This is great. She's saying embrace your values because it drives your culture. She loves that. Karina, saludos, Brazil. Ben is so upset with shipping costs. That's funny. I am. Yo, $400 for a coffee mug is absurd. It's ludicrous, criminal. Amanda Brown have, awesome. Just get everybody tuning in. You know, we're running out of time. I feel like we're just getting started.
We are.
I feel like you just got
talent here. Management.
Yeah, it's everything. Let me ask you this. Let's wrap. But I want to leave us with a final thought here, Louise.
Okay, so going back to your younger generation. So when I look at CVs, and you know, I'm educating my staff because I'm from an older generation, and your comment from having individuals working for 10 years, 20 years, you know, he's like, oh, wow, he's not a job hunter, you know, job hopper and everything else. And that's really fantastic. We want that person. I actually would like to see at least an individual job, sounds awful, job jumping, you know, every 5 years.
Yeah.
Because they're building up different cultures, different experiences, different foundations, and they can bring something to the table.
Annie, yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah, we had a podcast.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
now what I'm seeing, because of this younger generation who's being recruited remotely and onboarded and interviewed, you know, virtually, right? And my job is to really try and get the energy and understand what they are as a person on a screen. That's tough. I've got it pretty sus now through interviewing. But this younger generation is job hopping every 2 years because they don't know what they really want because they're not actually in a company and they don't know the culture and that big social environment. So it's changing. So I would love to be able to personally see and really work closely with corporates in how to get their staff to really interview well virtually and get a really good policy in place in bringing the remote workers coming in on a regular basis. When I say regular, once a month, have that gathering, you know? Yeah. So it's exciting times.
Once a month, have that gathering. But if they're all over, I mean, it's different.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
different in England because it's a little tighter geography. Yeah. But if you, you know, Justin, if you got somebody in Dallas, somebody in Florida, somebody in San Francisco, somebody, you know, I mean, we do it. We bring people in every quarter, but I mean, it's expensive, it's hard, right? You got travel day, you know, it's clunky, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have attorneys, I think it was like 25 states or something. And I mean, one thing you can do is like managers can go on like a road trip. Like I was in Boston, New York, like the past 2 months, just visiting like staff there.
What do you like? Go to their house? No, like, you. What do you do? Like, you got one guy in Topeka. You just stop by.
You go out for dinner and like, you know. But then like we've thrown around the idea of, you know, doing like an onsite in January where everyone comes in and we, you know.
I love that.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that, but it's, you know, it can be costly, but I think you have to do it.
You got to do it.
But then you weigh it up. If you've got remote workers, that company hasn't got that expense in that office, that desk.
So 100%, you are
saving. So let's look at it and think, right. Okay. I mean, you've got to give compensation for them working at home. You've got to. I mean, in the UK and in the EMEA region, you know, they do that, but let's look at it and invest. You've got to invest in this remote and hybrid worker and get a balance back.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Justin, you want to leave us with a final thought?
Put me on the spot. No, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, I think we've seen trade-offs. I think the biggest thing like that's been on my mind is, and I think this is with most organizations where you have remote workers, you just have to, the leadership has to work harder at making sure the culture is instilled. You have to, you know, in my profession, we have to teach everyone how to talk to clients the kind of the EIG way. And normally it's through osmosis. Somebody sits next to somebody and they hear, but we have to go the extra step. So I do think organizations have to invest more in just instilling the culture. And, you know, instead of osmosis by proximity, it's, you have to build up more of a onboarding and training process to be successful with this.
100% being intentional about it. Well, this has really been a fantastic conversation. Louise Neal, Easy Tiger, Justin Parsons, Erickson Immigration Group.
Thank you, Ben.
Really appreciate y'all being here. We're going to wrap here at the Blue Wire Studios in Vegas. This is the last of our podcast series here. It was amazing. Super blessed to be here with y'all. Hit that like button one more time, and we'll see you back in the real world soon. Take care, y'all.
Take care.
Bye.
Get Talent Podcast.